Blog Talk Radio.
Network, God's great love for us. And this evening, we're going to be discussing our topic, our series, Doesn't Take All That, and the specific items we're going to be speaking about in regard to It Doesn't Take All That is going to be word of knowledge and word of wisdom, manifestations of the Spirit. Before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your Spirit that you place within us so that you could dwell in us and we could dwell in you. Father, I thank you for your word that we have made a part of our conscious being of who we are and all that we do so that we can understand your voice when we hear it. God, I thank you for us having our ears unplugged and open so that we can receive all that you would download into us so that we could hear your voice, so that we could be in sync with your melody in our hearts and mind. Father, I thank you for you causing us to triumph in all that we do. Our love just overflowing from you into us, into all that we come in contact with. Father, I thank you for you continuing to bless us, God, with favor and grace and health and strength and wealth and power and the ability to go forth and to share the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, with others so that they can bow down to him, make him their master, so that they can boldly come before your throne and receive the grace and mercy that you have available for them. God, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Right now, we're going to listen to this song of praise. We're going to listen to this song of praise right now. Right now. welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us. And we are discussing It Doesn't Take All That. And our topics specifically this evening are the two manifestations of the Spirit, Word of Knowledge and Word of Wisdom. Now, we know that God tells us in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's interesting because when you're in the presence of one who is all-knowing, there is no shortage of knowledge if you have access to God. And so it is with wisdom. There is no shortage of wisdom if you have access to God. And that's why he sent his only begotten son to die at Calvary for you and I, so that he could then send the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the guide, the comforter to dwell within you and I, so that we could have that knowledge within us at all times and that wisdom within us at all times. And so when we call unto God, we ask him for knowledge and we ask him for wisdom because he is the source. And we receive that which goes beyond our human ability to access. Will. One call. What we need to know and what we need to know to do. When we need to know it and when we need to know what to do, we have access to that at all times because of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I want to call to your remembrance something that God said to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And that is why we always need to be prepared to call upon word of knowledge so that God can tell us what we need to know when we need to know it that we couldn't possibly know by any other means except through Holy Spirit. And then God needs us to make ourselves available to receive what we need to know to do. That's word of wisdom, what you need to know to do. And when you receive that word of wisdom from God, it is wisdom that goes beyond your five senses' ability to access. And see, God is all-knowing, but then God is also all-powerful. So there are things that you can do that other people cannot do because they do not have access to all power as you have access to all power. But God will give you specific instruction on what to do through word of wisdom. That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, an operation of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing with word and knowledge, because God is the only being in existence who is all-knowing. He knows the past, present, and future. That's omniscient. The big fancy word we use for that is omniscient. And when he shares his knowledge with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is word of knowledge. So I want to call to your attention a verse here in the New Testament that is specifically written to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And so we know, and it says in verse 2, it says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." See, it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to say that Jesus is Lord and then prevents us from cursing him. We can't possibly curse him through the Holy Spirit. And so we know that before we were saved, we were led astray by dumb idols, silver, gold, the opinions of men, fables, all kinds of nonsense. And see, what we've learned in humanity is people can believe anything. You can convince people that anything is possible. I know of a sect of nomads in Israel who dwell in the desert who believe that the Messiah can be birthed through a man. Now, you and I know that's not possible. But once again, people can believe anything. And so now what we have to do is study the Word of God so that we can get to the truth. We have to worship God in spirit. That is through the power that he's placed within us. That means we're operating word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and through truth. And the truth is his word. And that's why we have to study his word so that we can access the truth. I want to ask Pastor Vanessa to chime in real quick and to share her thoughts on what she thinks we need to know about the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Vanessa?
Good evening, everyone, to God's great love for us. It's really important to be a witness, and it's really important to be humble, for we do have the mind of Christ. It's important for us to be in his will, which is his word, so that word of wisdom and word of knowledge will be cultivated from a well. See, this is how I see it.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Vanessa. That was a very good word. And I want you to understand that what she was saying is very important. Yes. And so I want to share with you, it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, regarding the Holy Spirit and the operations of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the gift. That is the source of all spiritual power that is available within you, and that was placed within you when you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life and you became a child of God. One of the nine operations of that Holy Spirit within you is word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I'm going to list all nine so that you can hear them and you can understand them. So the first three are speaking in tongues, an operation of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues and interpretation is an operation of the Holy Spirit. And prophecy is an operation of the Holy Spirit. These three are described as inspiration manifestations, in spirit action manifestations. Now, the next three are another group three. It is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And these are known as impartation manifestations, where you are receiving information through the Holy Spirit that you could not otherwise access through your regular five senses. And then there are the revelation manifestations. And really, what you're looking at is word of, or you're looking at, and you know what? I believe I've mixed those up. The revelation manifestations are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning spirits. But then the impartation of the power, those manifestations are operations of supernatural acts of faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, where the power of the Holy Spirit is imparted to you so that others can be blessed, so that others can be restored, so that others can be healed. And so I'm going to share with you what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, regarding the Holy Spirit. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And what they really mean to say here is there are diversities of operations, but the same Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit within you is the gift. It is the pneumahagion. And when you read the King James Version, everywhere it says gifts here is in italics because that was added. So you can replace gifts with things or matters or operations, but there are diversities of operations, diversities of manifestations, but the same Holy Spirit within you that allows these operations to be available to you. Verse 15 says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Right? There are diversities of activities. It is the same God who works all in all. So when we allow God to work through us, we always are giving glory to God. We always are directing people to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And see, this is what gets glory for the kingdom. This is what wins souls to the kingdom because they experience the hand of God.
through deliverance, through restoration, through miracles, through acts, gifts of healing, and through being delivered of demon possession. All of these things allow people to experience the hand of God so that then they can make Jesus Christ their Lord and seek God's face. They can seek a relationship with God, but only after they have their immediate need help. Their immediate need has to be addressed. And that is why we have the power within us to make this restoration, this healing available to others. So it says that there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But look at what it says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, the manifestation of the Spirit, remember how I said it was the manifestations or operations of the Spirit that were given to each one are for the profit of all. See, in order for God's power within you to be profitable, you need to know how to operate that power. And that means you need to spend serious time in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 so that you can hear and receive the instruction that was given to the early church, because they had just got it wrong. They were operating in total disorder and confusion. And so Paul had to lay down the law. He had to provide sound instruction, and that sound instruction has carried on to us so that we have no excuse. We have had access to this as long as we've been saved. And so now we have to act like it. So look at what it says here. It says, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now look at what it says in verse 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now I want to stop there, and I want to ask the question. When I'm listing the operations or manifestations of the Holy Spirit, I start with speaking in tongues, interpretation, tongues, and prophecy, and then say word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits, and then say faith, supernatural acts of faith, and miracles and gifts of healings. But you know what 1 Corinthians 12 lists first here? He says, for one is given word of wisdom through the Spirit. The first thing he calls on is word of wisdom, not anything else, not prophecy. It's the word of wisdom. And then you know what's after that? To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, what I'm trying to point out is that God, in his chronology of what he is describing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he is listing the word of wisdom first and then the word of knowledge second, which tells me that these are very important. Right? When you understand that God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and heavens and as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. So if we're going to access the thoughts of God, then we're going to have to tap into this power of the Holy Spirit within us and begin asking God for access. We have to take our earplugs out of our ears so that we can hear the Spirit of God. See, it's not that God isn't talking to us. It's that we have our headphones on listening to this nonsense in the world. Or, worse yet, we just have earplugs in so we can hear nothing, just absolute rebellion. And just we want to hear ourselves humming and whatever else we're doing. Right? But God is saying, look, each one, look at verse 7. It says, but the manifestation or the operation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, you've been given power so that everybody else can benefit. It is for the benefit of others, so that others can be healed, so that others can be delivered, so that others can be restored, so that others can be set free of demonic possession. Right? You've been given that power for that purpose. And so when you begin walking in love, right? Your love of God causes you to love yourself, which causes you to love others to the extent that you are seeking those souls that are in the household of Christ that need deliverance, and you're seeking those souls that are outside of the household of Christ currently that God has called before the foundations of the world to be his children, and you're going to minister to them, and then you're going to save them by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that their soul can access the same power that you have access to, right? Because the manifestation or operation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when we talk about word of wisdom, the word of wisdom, it is what to do. God has given you supernatural instruction on what you need to do next because only God knows the future. No other being in existence knows the future. That's what it means to be omniscient. And if you go to some of the Old Testament examples with King Saul and others, you can see examples of how the devil spirits operate, where they lead people to believe that they can tell the future by telling them things about the past. And the fact is that God can, or that the devil can use familiar spirits or familiar with the aspects of individual's life to call upon details of all things that have happened in the past, even things that are happening in the present. But they cannot speak about the future. But what happens is they convince us that they know so much about the past in detail, and they know so much about the present that nobody else could possibly know. They must know about the future. And we make that assumption. We make that creative leap in our mind and then give them a license to start falsely prophesying into our life. And so one of the indicators I want to give you about what someone who is operating in false word of knowledge or false word of wisdom is going to be doing, anybody who's operating in any false ministry is going to be drawing attention to themselves. And one of the real measures is going to be, are they getting paid? Are they getting paid? Because what's going to happen is you're going to see that desire for them to become the focus and not Christ, and then money is the motive. I want to hand this off to Pastor Carver to see what she has to say about word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Woman of God.
When it's given by the Spirit, which is a good point to bring out, that's important because it goes along with what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians about having the mind of Christ. And but also, too, I think the most time I'm going to give an example and just share something personal. When I started to begin to understand word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, it really became greatly activated in my life when I started doing ministry, when I started praying for other people. I wasn't aware, other than to say that the source was God showing me and telling me things so I would adequately know how to pray for people. Even if a person told me what they wanted me to pray for, I would listen to the heart of God. I just started doing it. Nobody told me to do that. I was just like, okay, God, you know all things. And I know that even though they may be telling me to pray about a job or pray about a pain in their body, you're going to tell me to pray that you know they need, right? And so I realized that that was a word of knowledge. Sometimes a word of wisdom would come the same time, and I would pray because if someone needed counsel or direction, and I was just praying what the Spirit would tell me to say. But the more that you read the word and the more that you yield to God, and like my husband was mentioning about understanding and discerning between false and error and false things that people say, and where is that coming from? You'll be able to discern. That's weird. Where is that coming from? Because you know the word, but it really is to serve the body. It's for the body of Christ. It's how we minister to one another, and it really is one of the ways that God is able to submit practical wisdom and understanding as well for us, how we live our lives. I even get word of knowledge and word of wisdom on my job. So it helped me do my job, to help me help people better, to learn how to listen to them. And it's not that he's going to give me a scripture for them. He's going to give me something relevant to what I need. but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. So how, if you're looking at your job as serving God, you work heartily unto him, whether you're a waitress, whether you work in a bank, whatever it is that you do, he will give you word of wisdom and word of knowledge of how to serve the people, because you're serving him as you serve those people. Whether it's in ministry, whether it's like a church, at a brick and mortar, or in a ministry, or on your job, in your career, whatever your vocation is. So learn to really allow the Lord to show you how he uses word of wisdom and word of knowledge in every part of your life. Serving. First of all, it really isn't about you. It's about how he serves, how he shows himself strong in you, and how you serve other people. And if you are willing to do that, you'd be amazed at how he will show you the wisdom being and word of knowledge being activated.
Very good words, Pastor Carver. And I'll tell you, reminds me of a verse in Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, where it says, call unto me, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And see, one of the things that I believe keeps us from calling upon word of knowledge and word of wisdom intentionally is lack of humility. We believe we know everything we need to know. And if you understood how much you don't know, that is really the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. When you understand how much you don't know, then you can begin to call into God and allow him to answer you. But you have to humble yourself first to that reality that only God knows. And then he'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I remember the dialogue that God had with Job when Job was really judging God. And we do that. We judge God and we don't have a clue as to what's going on. Job didn't know anything about a conversation between God and the devil. And Job didn't know that God was bragging on him to the devil. And Job didn't know that God gave the devil permission to do all the things he did to him. He didn't know any of that, right? But when God got done talking with Job, Job repented of his ignorance and said, hey, I am wretched. I have no idea what's going on. I really don't know. And when he got to that point, then God was able to restore him. God was able to elevate him. God was able to take him to the next level of relationship, because he said, Job, you're a great man. You're the best that is. And yet he knew about God. He didn't know God experientially until he was tested, until he was allowed to experience God's power in action, which allowed Job to endure without cursing God. He endured affliction without cursing God. And then God restored him double what he had before. And he was an incredibly wealthy man before. So look at what it says here in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. So for us, as it pertains to the word wisdom, when you need to know, you need to know, you call upon God, as it said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee, God said. That's absolute. He didn't say, I might answer you if you call. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And so many people say, oh, I don't hear God. Well, take the earplugs out of your ears, take the headphones, all the stuff you're listening to off of your ears, and then spend some time in the presence of God and his word. And see, if you don't even know what the voice of God sounds like, how can you know when God is speaking to you? If you don't read God's word, how will you know what God's voice sounds like? How do you know what God will do and won't do if you don't look at what God has already done? If you don't look at what God has already prepared and put forth in his word as a complete and perfect plan for our lives. What it says here in Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. tell me that's not comforting. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 2:5-7. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blamelessness. And see, level of God's presence in our life, so that we can operate the power of the Holy Spirit to the benefit of others. See, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all of the body of Christ. And, you know, I've had people tell me, you need to stop talking so much about rewards and all this because that's not so important. It's about relationship. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. So Jesus Christ said, I'm coming back with my reward in my hand. And he said that for a reason in Revelation. Right at the end, it's one of the last things he says. And we need to understand, if it's important to him, it's got to be important to us. It's important for a reason. And see, that reward means that we are focused on the profit of all of the body of Christ. And that is why we operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is why we call upon the Holy Spirit to empower us, speak in tongues, interpret, to prophesy, to receive word of knowledge, receive word of wisdom, receive discerning of spirits, and operate in supernatural faith and miracles and perform gifts of healings for the profit of others. So I want to ask Pastor Carver what she thinks about this. Pastor Carver?
It is always really for others. And if we have the right heart, be surprised how we begin to listen and hear and expect to be led and for God to show us things, even when he shows us things in our dreams. I wanted to ask Bishop Carver, has he ever gotten a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge in a dream or a vision? I have. I thought it was a prayer. It probably was a prayer that I was praying, and he gave me direction. But you know what? It does really go back to us looking at the scripture. Even in Genesis, when you think about Abraham being led to do many things, I'll just pick one example that I was recently reading when he was he imparted this in his own servants and in his household. So he was looking for a wife for Isaac, and he told Eleazar, who was his oldest servant, to go and look for a wife and for his son. And he told him exactly where to go and to look for a wife for his son amongst his own people and not the Canaanites. And so Eleazar was made a covenant with Abraham to do that. And that was a very serious thing. The thing that got my attention in this was how he began to pray. Eleazar began to pray when he was looking for a wife for Isaac. He said, before I finished praying in my heart, behold, Rebekah showed up. And so he's just talking about he was told where to go by his master. He still was, and he didn't know. There was a lot of things he didn't know. There were some blanks that were not filled in. But he said he began to pray in his heart, and behold, before he was finished praying, Rebekah showed up. And she did just based upon what was instructed. There were some things that he was told that this woman would be the right woman if she did certain things, and Rebekah did. She brought water to him and to his camels. And that was one of the signs, two of the signs that he would know. So I'm just using this as an example to show how in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit, right, was given, that these people that were had the heart to do what God said, to be righteous, to do the things as God told them to do, how they were being led in wisdom and in knowledge. This is before the gifts of the, you know, before the spirit of wisdom and knowledge was given to us through the Holy Spirit. But yet God is in all of it. And it was always to benefit others. And even when I was giving you that example about how God started dealing with me, it was because I was praying for other people. And that the well that we get this from, it's practical practical things, word of wisdom, practical things, word of knowledge, right? It's in everything. And there's a lot of different examples, especially when it comes to Abraham's life, that shows how he listened to direction and God started telling him, and he just did what God told him to do, down to the letter. And so, and there was, you know, sometimes we get confused. I do want to speak to this. Sometimes we get overwhelmed and we get confused, especially when God gives us something to do. We've accepted it, like an assignment, right? A call, specific thing he's told us to do. And we have no idea how that's going to get done. We're like, this is big, Lord, and I don't know how this is supposed to be broken down. But we have to have the expectation, just like my husband was reading in Isaiah, about calling unto God, knowing he will hear him and see and show him the things that he did not know. So you have to begin to really believe God and trust God and become more than just a believer, become a disciple. Be committed to follow him the way that he needs to be followed, and commit your life to him. You know, commit your works unto the Lord. He will cause them to be successful. So we are basically, I can tell that both of us are going back and forth about so many different components of having a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is just part of your everyday life. And you expect it there. You will get into some ways. I mean, it's like my husband was also saying, poising yourself to listen. Learn to be quiet and learn to hear him at a place where you need to hear every dot connected. Do this first, then do that. And until I tell you to do something else, do this. Go back and finish that. You know, you should be here and not there. You got to trust me. Sometimes that's all God will say to you, sometimes as a word of knowledge. Just trust me. I already told you to do this. So it should be okay. Go have peace and go focus on this. And God knows how to talk to you. God knows how to talk to you about you and help you to serve better and to be able to utilize and employ the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge.
That is very important. That is a serious blessing. I want to share a couple of verses with you that I think are going to bless you. And I know that sometimes I get accused of being a little too deep, but this is something very practical that I think you can call upon when you think about word of knowledge and think about God's word as knowledge in and of itself before we get down to the manifestation or operation of the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And this is important for you to understand that when you know that all things work together for you because you love God and because you are the called according to God's purpose. And it doesn't matter if things that happen are good. It doesn't matter if the things that happen are bad. It doesn't matter if the things that happen are great. And it doesn't matter if the things that happen are ugly. What matters is that you know that all of these things are working together for your good because God is causing them to work together for your good because you love him. And because you are the called according to God's purpose. So God is positioning you so that all things that happen to you are working out to your advantage. You need to know that. And now here's another practical reality that you need to know and understand, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted be above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." See, what this is telling you is you're going to experience the things that every person in life experiences, good, the great, the bad, and the ugly.
God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're going to be able to bear. And will, with every temptation that comes your way, make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. So when you are in times of tests and trials, even in things that look good but are extremely tempting in terms of drawing you into the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you need to understand that God is making a way of escape along with all of those tests and trials. And so you have to be looking for the way of escape. You have to be prayerful and confident. God is not going to place you in waters that are deeper than you are going to be able to survive. God is not going to allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. And so you have to be looking for that way of escape. And that is one of the ways we get glory for God, is by rejoicing in temptation. Because we know that God causes all things to work together for our good. So I want to share with you one more passage of scripture I think is going to bless you. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." It is light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Christ. I want to have Pastor Carver pray for us this evening, and then we're going to close with a song of praise after she prays us out. So, Pastor Carver.
We just thank you all for in here tonight with God's great love for us. We close and open everything with prayer because we want God to know, to remind others that he is with him, that these things are being taught, shared. We also know that this is not the end of a thing because God is dealing with you about word of wisdom, word of knowledge tonight, saying that it does take all that you be encouraged. Don't be frustrated. Be patient with yourself. Be patient at the process of understanding how to employ these things on a daily basis. And we just want to close with prayer to encourage you and to that you draw closer to God, and that it is this time last week, relationship, there was a void somewhere in your understanding. I pray that what was tonight is going to be fruitful for you in the days to come, that you have great expectations what God will do in your life. Father, we just thank you tonight. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, today for your presence in our lives. You're touching at the place in our hearts so that we will be engaged with you to use everything that you've given us to use, that we are stewards of it, better stewards of it, so that there's no waste in our life and that we can be effective in ministry. We thank you, Lord, today for your love for us. Because with you, all things are possible. We never have to think ourselves small in your eyes. We never have to compare ourselves to others and grow spiritually. But we can just say, Lord, where am I? Help me. And that we submit and commit to him with a pure heart in this place. I thank you, Lord, today for that person who's listening who is in a place where they don't understand how to use the gift of, about a word of wisdom and word of knowledge, that they get gainful understanding. And for those who know you, Lord, don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they draw closer to you and get in a relationship with you, Father God, that will be fruitful, that they'll be full of joy, that they will be encouraged, that they will be strengthened, that they will be focused, that they won't be distracted, that they will trustworthy, that you, knowing that you are trustworthy, they'll trust you more, believe you more, and they will be able to see growth. No matter what opposition that we all may encounter, I thank you, Lord, today that you have taught us, Lord, to stand up and be who we are. That in itself is allowing you to fight for us. That even that taking dominion is deciding that I am a follower of Christ. I trust God. I believe in his word, and I'm going to act on his word. And that we take all these things that we don't understand to you in prayer, expecting for the Holy Spirit to show us and to teach us and to speak to us at those places where we're less than, and that we not think our, and that we have true minds of humility and not false humility, not putting on things that make us look like we're holy, but truly be holy and learn to worship you in spirit and truth. I thank you, Lord, today for this show tonight. I bless your name. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us about the things that it is going to take for us to be more, to show your power in our lives, that you show it through us, and that we become more willing vessels. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what
to do.